Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actress Sherry Shepherd about her role in the new film, Brian Banks. Celebrity interior designer Nikki Chu is here to chat about the new season of her Aspire TV series, Unboxed with Nikki Chu. Upfront also chats with Queen Sugar actress Tina Lifford about playing Aunt Vi and more. We'll also be playing music from the movies of the late Whitney Houston, who would have turned 55 years old on Friday. But first, here's a word from our underwriters.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Life Lux Jazz, November 7th through the 11th on the beaches of Los Cabos, Mexico. This year's festival lineup includes Incognito, Mesa, Kirk Whalum, Gerald Albright, and more. In addition to the music, there will also be health and wellness activities, a Spirit of Jazz brunch, and Sunset Cruise. Information is available at LifeLuxJazz.com. That's LifeLuxeJazz.com.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we exhale. Yeah, yeah. Say shoot, 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 shoot.
This is Lisa Arendell, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
When I was young, it was hard to see a way out. Football gave me an option.
And Brian Banks with the tackle.
By the time I was 16, I had the attention of the NFL.
The sky is the limit for this kid.
So what happened? Why don't you play anymore?
Brian Banks was 16 years old when he was accused of a crime he did not commit. He lost 11 years. Scholarship. He was prevented from playing football.
The system is broken.
We have 10 months to clear his name.
If in that time they do not overturn your conviction, you'll be a prisoner again.
I need something big, something extraordinary.
You just heard the trailer from the new film, Brian Banks, which opens in theaters this weekend. It focuses on the life of promising football star Brian Banks, whose career was severely altered when he was falsely accused of rape. Actress Sherry Shepherd stars as Brian's mom in the film and stopped by Upfront to chat about playing her and much more.
Let's talk about this role. This is your first dramatic lead. And when I read that, I was like, no, it isn't. But then...
Well, for a film, because okay. I've done drama on, like, with Kiki Palmer. I played her mother in a drama
I was
on Lifetime.
Say, yeah.
And I was in a drama called Precious, and I was a receptionist for the Each One Teach One with Zosia Rockamore, who was also in Brian Banks. So, but that was a very small role in Lee Daniels' film. So this is my first big lead role in a drama on the big screen.
So when this came across your desk, what was it about this story that you were like, I got to do this? Like this.
I wish I could say it came across my desk. My agent was talking about it.
Okay.
And I said, please, can you send me the script? And he sent it to me. And I read about Leomi, who plays Brian Banks's mother, and the fact that she fought so hard for Brian. She believed in him. She advocated for him. She was going through not having control over the situation, and it's but her faith. It spoke to me so much because I have a son who's 14 years old. I'm raising single mom like Leomi and raising him. And I said, this Jeffrey, this could be Brian Banks.
Yeah.
And I called my agent and I said, I got to audition for this role. And he tried to get, they weren't interested in seeing me because of my comedy background in Hollywood. It's very hard. Once they label you, it's very, very difficult to cross over to that other genre. And so people knew me from comedy, so they were not interested in seeing me for drama. And I really had to fight, and I really had to make my agent believe that I could do it. And then he had to fight for me. And then finally, Leah Daniels' butler, Lee Daniels' sister, she's a casting director. She called me in and she said, we're expanding the role of the mother. And I went, oh my gosh, that's great. And she went, for Viola Davis, because that's who they were trying to get. They were trying their hardest to get Viola. And I said, okay. And she goes, okay, now you ready? And I was like, no. But it was, I still didn't get the call for weeks and weeks. I had to do FaceTime auditions. I had to meet with the producers on FaceTime. Wow. And Tom Shadyac, who directed this film, he wrote The Nutty Professor. He's directed Eddie Murphy and Jim Carrey on a bunch of their films. And he said, I'm going to have to sit on you the way I sat on Eddie and Jim. And I said, please sit on me. Finally, I booked the role. So I was just so grateful. And I want to tell people, you know, you have to believe in yourself, but you have to know, even if you get a lot of no's, you only need one yes. You only need one person to believe in you and say yes. And then the sky's the limit.
Yeah. Did you get an opportunity to actually talk to her about?
Oh, I met with Leomi. Yeah. Before I even started, I asked if I could come and to walk in the door and meet this woman who, by the way, Leomi is getting her master's.
Oh, wow.
She's a few credits shy of getting her master's. She's an amazing woman. She's a school teacher, very quiet, very understated, and she really doesn't feel like she did anything extraordinary except love her son. And so when you sit with Leomi, and she's very soft-spoken, and to see this little woman who's so soft-spoken, who fought tirelessly for her son. She, when he was incarcerated, she drove 3.5 hours there and back every other weekend to see her son for 5 years. She wrote him a letter every day. She talked to him every day. She mortgaged her house. She sold her car to get an attorney for him because she believed in him. She showed up at court by herself. The girl that had accused Brian would show up with all kinds of family members. Leomi came by herself. Every single time. And to just get a sense of who this woman was amazing to sit up under her. And even so, she said, I didn't do anything.
Has your son seen the film? And what are his thoughts?
You know, it's something. I have a teenage son who I'm just going through with this little alien that's in my house now. He is going to go see it with me. He wants to see it. It's going to be a little hard for Jeffrey, I think, to see me in that. In that, you know, not smiling and not comedy, but I think it's important for Jeffrey to see this film, to see about choices. And this, you see why your mama tells you not to do certain things, and you see why. But unfortunately, because he's a little black boy, I have to have those conversations with him of what happens if the police stop you, Jeffrey. You have to keep your hands to yourself. My son has special needs, so you have to keep your hands down. You have to talk very slowly. You have to tell them, I want to call my mom. And so he needs to see this film to see what, you know, what happens. And to be more aware. So yeah, I'm taking him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry Shepherd. Check out the full conversation with her at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from We Are Live Entertainment, presenting A Night of Class with vocalist Dionne Warwick on Friday, August 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Fox Theater. Miss Warwick will be accompanied by a full orchestra. The evening will also feature Peebo Bryson and Denise Williams. Ticket information is available at foxtheater.org.
Say, don't you worry, no, don't you fret. The Lord has never failed you yet. So hold on, help is on the way,
help is on the way.
Hold on.
Hi, this is Melissa Ingram, General Manager of Aspire TV, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
It's time to get unboxed.
What's up, Nick?
Force and Nikki here. We have this huge empty space.
I didn't even want the balcony. She wanted the balcony, and now we got to put something on it.
Save our marriage.
This is your friend.
I'm about to unbox one of my best friends. Nicole and Boris, they're busy actors. I want to create this secret garden for them. This is about bringing back romance.
Daddy-o, I'm a daddy-o.
You're about to get unboxed.
Oh, my God.
That was just a taste of what you can expect on the new season of Aspire's hit series, Unboxed with Nikki Chu. I caught up with the decor diva on premiere day to chat about some new design trends, designing for celebrity friends, and much more.
Well, Nikki Chu, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me today.
You look amazing.
Thank you. I did this for you.
I appreciate that. And you smell great, too.
Thank you. That's my little surprise.
A little something-something.
Yeah, my little sneak tip.
Yeah. So we're really excited. Season 2, Unboxed with Nikki Chu. Love the show. Love what you're doing with Aspire. Love those guys.
I love them too. Yeah. They're my family at this point.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about this new season. You've sort of invited some of your friends to kind of...
to play around. to get kicked out of their own home. It's really interesting because a lot of my friends, if I was to show you my phone, they harass me daily. You know, should I paint my house this color? Should I buy the sofa? And they send me screen captures, and it's just an ongoing thing being a designer. Yeah. And so this season I said, you know what? Do you want me to make over your space? And all of them agreed. But the caveat is that I kicked them out.
Wow.
And so when they return to just see their expression, to see how they respond, and the fact that it's really hits home for me because I actually know these people. So this space really truly reflects them. So I think that's why we get the big amount of emotion that you're going to see in this season.
And the big reveal. I mean, if you have removed them from the scenario and they're coming back, so we're actually seeing what actually happened when they came back.
Real
to see
time.
Them. Wow.
You're seeing for the first time with them the space, and you're seeing the reaction, and it is authentic because you can't fake the level of surprise or emotion that interiors invoke, especially if it's a space that's done specifically around what you like, the colors you love, or something that you wished you could execute but you just couldn't pull it out of you, and then someone else does.
Yeah. So can we share with our audience who some of those friends are?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have Tank and Zena, the R&B singer.
Yeah.
So I love doing men's spaces because I don't often get to do that. Women typically dominate the space of interiors. So this is a man's space that I do
sort
for him.
Sort of a man cave.
Yeah. It's a creative space I do for him. Boris and Nicole.
Oh, two of my favorites. Yeah.
Holly and Rodney Pete.
Okay.
Yep. And I love them. They are a solid family. They have their show on Hallmark, and they're celebrating their 24-year anniversary.
Wow.
So I kind of bring back some romance and inject that into their master suite. And I'm doing Tisha Campbell.
Love her.
Love Tisha. We've been friends for over 15 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, and she's also going through a transition in her life. So being able to change her master suite, which is where she spends a lot of her time in her temporary space, in her transition, is something that people overlook. Mm. How important it is to really make sure that your interior space reflects who you are. You wake up there. You come home there. You go to sleep. You cry. You laugh. I mean, you do a lot of things in your own personal space, so it truly needs to reflect you. You can't just be this fly, fashionable person out in the streets, and you come home and you've just got a sofa. It doesn't add up. And so, being an interior designer, I'm able to see where that disconnect is.
Can you, without giving away too much of your black girl magic there, what is the process when you get an assignment like this? What goes through your mind in terms of how I'm going to transform these walls, what colors to use, what fabric to incorporate?
Well, on the show, all of my makeovers are based on what's trending in home decor.
Okay.
So I come up with two completely different trends. There's a trend called Scandinese, which is Scandinavian design, which is very minimal, lots of white, very airy, very relaxed and comfortable, but it's mixed with Japanese. So it's called Scandinese. And Japanese has a lot of wood and sculpture and a lot of form. So you mixing those two together, which creates Scandinese. So on the show, I get inspired by these trend directions. I present them to the person. They have to choose one. I kick them out, and then the rest is up to me. And when they come home and the space is revealed to them, they pick the box based on not understanding that it's a trend and what the trend actually means. The viewers understand because I take them through the trend.
Okay.
They just understand a vibe and a mood when I reveal the box to them. Some of the boxes... In Tank and Zena's case, one felt exactly like the house, the interior of their house currently, and the other one was a complete departure. And how they choose and how they try to take themselves outside of the box is what makes it really interesting watching them.
Wow. Now, speaking of trends, we're about to move out of summer and into fall, I'd say probably in the next couple of weeks or so. What are some fall trends that we're going to see coming up in terms of design?
Unlike fashion that changes rapidly, you know, every 6 months, home decor has a more subtle and slow approach to it.
Okay.
We typically have two seasons in home decor if you're designing products, which would be, you know, your summer and your winter. But as it relates to interiors, there are some major trends that show up. For instance, right now, flooring, walls, you know, gray is the new beige. Mm. You know, a lot of builders now, you're going to start seeing them move away from the darker woods, and you'll see whitewashed woods, gray washed woods, and a lot of unfinished pine, especially in furniture. A lot of linens, which is a nice durable fabric, but also very relaxed. So you're starting to see a lot of things that are monochromatic. So a lot of color, tone on tone on tone, but a lot of texture within that. Black and white remains a mainstay in home decor. You can never go wrong with black and white. Blue remains a popular color. It sits well with both male and female, so you can really work that into a space. Something that's really new in the blue space is using the entire gamut of blue. So from a light washed blue to a denim blue to a nice inky dark blue, and putting all of that range of blue in one space and really kind of layering it. So there's a lot of different things. Green is showing up. It brings us back to Mother Nature. Earth is very relaxing. So that forest green is starting to show up in a lot of home decor and works really well in the exterior space. So
if you could go back, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. If you could go back and recreate or redesign for any of the, I guess, musical divas, because you kind of give me a musical diva today. Yeah. If there's someone in particular that if you could go back and you could design for that person, who would it be?
Wow, that's a great question. It would be the late, great Whitney Houston.
Mm.
She was somebody when I was growing up, when I first kind of saw my own face, as to seeing a woman that I loved and thought was beautiful, and she was on my wall, and it was, you know, the album when she had the white tank top on and short curly hair. And
that was a Whitney album.
Yeah, the Whitney album. And she was kind of the first time that I, as a young teenage girl, was like, wow, I love this woman. And I would listen to all of her stuff, and I think she's such a diva that she would get high design.
Yeah, wow. Well, Nikki Chu, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Again,
thank
the
you.
New season of Unboxed with Nikki Chu. It actually starts
airs
this week, right?
Tonight.
There we go.
On Aspire at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
So don't miss it, because Boris and Nicole are on it tonight.
Oh, wow.
And it is actually a very funny episode. They're really good friends of mine. Every time I go to L.A., I stay in their house. So we have a really fun dynamic between all of us. So
cool.
I can't wait for everyone to see it.
And how can our listeners continue to follow you on social media?
Nikki Chu Home. So that's NikkiChuHome on Instagram. And you get to see updates. I'm into cooking. I love, you know, reworking things. So I do a lot of tips on my social media. So definitely check it out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, presenting East Texas Hot Links, July 16th through August 11th at the Southwest Arts Center. It's 1955, and Charletta's Top of the Hill Cafe is a public place where Black locals can gather for comfort, solace, and companionship. When danger comes knocking, things take a deadly turn in this East Texas town. Ticket information is available at True Colors Theater .org or ticketalternative.com.
I can cast a spell, secrets you can tell. Mix a special brew with fire inside of you. Anytime you feel danger or fear, then instantly I will appear. Oh, I'm every woman. It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I do it now.
this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You're the last person who can ever talk about dignity, Jimmy Dale. Get out of my house.
So that's how you gonna do me? After all this time?
You're damn right. There's the door user.
Still got that spice in you.
Jimmy Dale, what are you doing here?
He's just leaving.
Oh, hey, Nova, good to see you again.
Excuse me again. What's he talking about?
I can explain.
You just heard a clip from the current season of OWN's hit series, Queen Sugar, starring my last guest, Tina Lifford. The veteran actress, whose character Aunt Vi has gained a new generation of fans, stopped by to chat about the show and much more.
Well, Tina Lifford, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm so very well, Ray. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm so, when I tell you, I'm so excited that you're here.
I love that.
I told everybody that you were coming, and they have been like, when is she getting here? Is she here? What is she, you know, what's going on? They've been so excited. We're just really big fans of the show.
Yeah.
Queen Sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, where has this been all our lives?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the phenomena is highlighted when we are in season four, and it literally is our best season.
Yeah.
Usually a show at season four would be declining, but this season, Nova, have mercy. She just gave us all kinds of stuff to deal with.
And it's crazy because my coworker and I, we were talking the same thing. She was like, this is the best season because in the first three seasons, it was you guys fighting to save the farm, the land, yes, your name.
Yes.
Now there is this, you know, war going on within the household. And I think it was maybe episode two that I was like, okay, Nova has officially pissed me off because you made Aunt Vi cry, and I don't like seeing Aunt Vi cry. And I was like, what was she thinking? So take us back to the reading table when you guys got the script for this. What was going through your minds? Like, what? We're doing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting because you said the war within the family, and that's accurate. But I would even go a layer deeper, and the war within each person regarding whatever their secret is. This season is the season of outing secrets and fighting with oneself in order to actually be free. I mean, ultimately, I think that Nova will have championed a good thing, ultimately. But the way she went about it has a bunch of people, including Aunt Vi, pissed off.
Yeah. No, it's, I was saying to my sister, cause we watch the show every Wednesday. It is like her career is taking off in ways that she's never had it take off before. But personally, you know, and at what cost has that happened with her writing this book and releasing all of those secrets? I mean, the episode where, Jimmy, played by David Alan Grier.
I mean, what is he like?
I mean, when you fainted, I was just like, well, my God, what? You know, who is this man? And why would she? And then when she revealed, oh, I reached out to him when I was writing the book, and I didn't know, you know,
what arrogance.
Yeah.
What? And then he freaking comes arrogance
to Louisiana. It's like, oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yes. You know, that she would dredge up Jimmy Dale. Now, she probably did not know the depth to which Jimmy Dale was. No, actually, she did. Mm-hmm. She just didn't believe Aunt Vi. She needed to, you know, as she said, she needed to know whether or not the unredeemable was redeemable.
Mm.
And so she places Aunt Vi's life in crisis for her intellectual experiment. Oh, it's like who are you?
yeah. The scene at the table where basically you tell her, and I think this was the scene that everyone was just like, wow. When you said, I don't even want you to bring flowers
don't
to my
bring
grave.
Don't bring no flowers yeah. to my grave.
Can we go back to that when you guys were filming that? What was the tension like on set at that time?
Yeah, Rutina Wesley, who plays Nova, is such a sweetheart of a human being. And Rutina is a lover. But she's also a consummate actress. And so she has to embrace the mindset. And she has to embrace the mindset of Nova in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. See, because people don't do horrible things thinking that they're doing horrible things. They do what they do. And I don't know, some people will rationalize, but they do what they do based upon circumstances and a way of thinking that makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. And so Rutina literally had to distance herself from me to some degree, because that's interesting. As I'm thinking about it, that day on set, there were times that I would look at Rutina or look at Nova between takes, and you could see that between these two beings, something precious was at risk. Mm. You know, something really valuable was at risk. And it's an interesting experience because we, the actors, we know it's theater.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, emotionally, it's real. And so it was touch and go, you wow. know. I would look at her and I would just want to smack her.
I think we all did.
I just want to smack her.
Yeah.
And the arrogance of her choices and her defense of her choices, it's like, oh my God. Like the line says, I'm gonna do what your mother would do mm-hmm. right this moment and tell you you need to go and you can't come back here.
Thank you, Tina Lifford. Join us next week for the conclusion of our conversation where she talks about her upcoming book and her inner fitness tour. Well, that'll do it for this weekend's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Sherry Shepherd, Nikki Chu, and Tina Lifford. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, August 17th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.